بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين, وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Now to the points of benefit concerning chapter 23, which we discussed last night. The points of benefit regarding the three verses which the author had cited were finished also earlier. The fourth matter, the fourth benefit, so and this is the most important one, is what is the meaning to have faith in al-jibt and al-tawt? Is it a conviction of the heart, or is to apply while hating it and knowing its futility? As to the first part, the conviction of the heart, is no doubt that it is included in the verse. As to the agreement with the people of Jibt and Tawut in acting, in action, yet hating Al-Jibt and Al-Tawut, and knowing that they are futile, then this requires, meaning the ruling on this, this requires tafsil, detail. If he agrees with the people of who believe in Al-Jibt and Al-Tawut, based upon that this is correct and right thing to do, then this constitutes kufr, disbelief. And if he agrees with them not believing that it is right, then he does not fall in major kufr, but there is no doubt that he is on a great danger, where it may lead him, the situation may lead him to fall in kufr, wa la'yadu billah. The next benefit, that this, and this is what is intended by the established title of this chapter, that there will be from this ummah who will fall into idol worshipping and shirk, that this is inevitable, as stated in the hadith of Abi Sa'id al-Khudri, which we discussed also last night. The next benefit is the explicit statement that this worship of idols will occur, and the hadith of Abi Sa'id that you will follow the path of the nations before you. The next point of benefit, surely you will follow the ways of those before you, just as the flight of one arrow resembles another, so much so that even if they enter the hole of a desert, you would enter it. They said, "Do you mean the Jews and the Christians?" He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, replied, "If not, then whom?" The next point of benefit is the amazing thing, great amazing thing, astonishing amazing thing, that the emergence of those who will claim prophethood, like Al-Mukhtar ibn Abi Ubaid al-Thaqafi, despite they utter the shahadatain, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, and his stating that he is from this ummah, and that the messenger is true, and that the haqq, and that the Quran is the truth, and that Muhammad is the final of the prophets and last of them, despite all of that, he contradicts it totally, whereby he claimed the prophethood at the end of the reign of the companions, and many numbers followed him, followed Al-Mukhtar. And who is Al-Mukhtar? He is Ibn Abi Ubaid al-Thaqafi. He emerged in Al-Kufa, during the early Khilafah of Ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu. And he claimed the love of the household of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he invited people to take revenge for the killing of Al-Husayn radiallahu anhu. And then he killed many people or assisted in killing them. People were deceived regarding him from the common people. Then he claimed the prophethood and he claimed that Jibreel came to him. This is Al-Mukhtar Ibn Abi Ubayd al-Thaqafi. And this is an amazing thing, that for him to claim prophethood while believing in the Quran to be the truth, and the Quran, and that in the Quran Muhammad is mentioned to be the final prophet. It's amazing how someone like this is believed and followed. But the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not instill light in his heart, then he will have no light. The next point of benefit, the glad tidings that the truth continues to exist and it will not be eliminated as it was eliminated before. Rather, a group of this ummah will remain on the truth, victorious until the day of resurrection. And this is taken from the end of the hadith, which was the hadith of Abi Sa'id, or the other wording of Al-Burqani, where he added that statement, وَلَا تَزَالُ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي عَلَى الْحَقِّ مَنْصُورًا, and a group of my ummah will remain on the truth victorious, and they will be victorious and they will not be harmed by those who oppose them until Allah's command comes, meaning the establishment of the hour. The next benefit, the great sign that despite their few numbers, they will not be harmed by those who oppose them or betray them. And this is a great sign indeed, that the majority of the people, of the children of Adam, are on the opposite to that. Nevertheless, this does not harm them. And as Allah stated in Surah Al-Baqarah 2:249, كم من فئة قليلة غلبت فئة كثيرة بإذن الله والله مع الصابرين. How often a small group overcame a mighty host by Allah's leave, and Allah is with الصابرين, the patient ones. The next benefit is that this condition is until the day of resurrection. The next benefit, the great signs mentioned in the hadith when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala folded the earth for the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam, and he saw its east and west. Great signs supporting the prophethood of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his truthfulness, whereby he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed about that Allah the Most High folds the earth to him, and he enabled him to see the east and the west, and that he told that the kingdom of this ummah will reach these vast places, not the north and the south, meaning what occurred is just as he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed. He informed of the east and the west. He didn't mention the north and the south, and the reality attests to that. That the message of the Prophet ﷺ reached in the direction of the east and the west more than it's spread in the towards the south and north. And this is from the knowledge of the unseen, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon His Prophet ﷺ. And from that is that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also told that he will be given the two treasures, the gold and the silver, those of Kisra the Persian and Caesar the Roman. And from that his invocation was answered regarding his ummah. First, not to be mass destroyed, and that not to be overwhelmed, their sovereignty overwhelmed by an enemy from other than themselves. And he forbade, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevented the third one, did not answer the third one, meaning not to withhold the splitting and the fight amongst the Muslims from taking place. Rather, this will occur. So Allah prevented that to be given, withheld it. And from the signs which the Prophet ﷺ also had in this hadith is his informing that the sword, the killing by the sword, that if it takes place, then it will not be lifted. And this is what occurred since the time of Uthman radiallahu anhu, if we can have the hadith, that it will not be lifted until the hour is established. And the matter occurred as such, when the swords were used on the Muslims from amongst themselves, the matter remained as we see it up till now. Also, his informing that some Muslims will destroy others and take as prisoners portions of this ummah, will do it to other portions, and this is what occurred. And from that is his fear for his ummah regarding the misleading leaders and scholars. And from that his foretelling concerning the false prophets, and that they are 30. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar rahimahullah mentioned that the limit to 30 does not mean that those who claim prophethood will be restricted in number to 30, because there will be more. So therefore, in this case, the mentioning of the 30 is to indicate the lowest end or the lowest limit. So this means there will not be less than 30. No. And we resorted to this interpretation because of the reality of the matter. And from that also his informing alayhi salatu wasalam concerning the continuity of the saved sect and the victorious group. And this, all of this occurred as he foretold. Also from that is the specification that his fear is centered upon, or focused upon, the misleading leaders. This specification is because the leaders are three kinds: umara, authority; ulama, scholars; and ubbad, worshippers. And these together are feared, since they are followed. So their misguidance is something to fear, because they have followers. The people of authority, they have the authority and the ability to execute. And the ulama, they have the ability to direct. And the worshippers, they have the ability to deceive people by their status. They are obeyed and taken as examples. So that's why the ummah should fear them, because if they are misled, then they will lead many astray, and if they were guided, many will be guided by them. And finally, the point of caution regarding the meaning of idol worship, that is, the worship of idol is not restricted to ruku' and sujood to them, but rather involves following the misleading who make the halal haram, and people will do the same. And they make unlawful that which Allah had made lawful, and people will do the same. Yeah. This brings the end of the discussion regarding this whole important chapter, chapter 23. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it an enlightening benefit for all of us. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.